It's up there, it's out there, and it's gone. An opposite field home run for C.J. Krohn. That's his third of the year. And now it's a two-run game again. Seattle 6 and the Angels 4. Peralta comes set. And his first pitch tonight. That's driven into deep left. Forget about this one. Aoki turns around and watches it sail. Home run, Mike Trout. Third round tripper of the inning for the Angels, who now have a 6-2 lead. One ball, one strike. The pitch. Deep drive to left. Aoki back. It's up there. It's out there, and it's gone. A laser into Edgar's section and left. A three-run homer for Albert Pujols, and the Angels regain the lead at 9-7.
No boy. The mellifluous and energetic tones of Steve Klauke. What you might not know is he's one of the funniest guys anywhere as well. A blast to talk to, a wealth of knowledge, a great honor to welcome in a man I've admired for years, B's play-by-play man Steve Klauke, going big time on us. Last series in Seattle, last weekend, Angels swept it, by the way, and I said earlier, Angels make the playoffs, you got to call the playoff game, even if they put you in your own booth, they got to have you there. He's called over going on what? I mean, 30 going on 3,500, well over 3,000 games for Salt Lake City. Now they're called the Bees, dating back to 1994. He did call a couple of games for the Blue Jays in 2004. Welcome, Steve. Thanks for taking a few minutes. You're big time. I appreciate really that you're giving us a few minutes.
First of all, that's an overwhelming introduction.
Well, the check is in the mail. I hope that the check's in the mail.
Yeah, well, I'm waiting. I have to wait for mine first, although I have to admit the big league per diem's pretty nice.
Yeah. So
it was an absolute blast. And by the way, Jazz fans, it would be really tough to be with me right now because we pull in from the airport in Oklahoma City into the downtown district. And all of a sudden, appears in front of me a 30-foot-high poster on the side of a building of Enes Kanter.
Yeah. Yeah, there's that. trade him in your division for basically Tibor Pleiss.
Yeah.
We won't go there. You brought it up. I didn't. So
that's right. Well, I can't help it. I can't help it, Tom. Our hotel here in Oklahoma City is literally next door to the Chesapeake Arena, where the Thunder will be playing Game 3 on Sunday.
Well, that's going to be a blast. I mean, that city is, I mean, everybody here remembers not too long ago what it was like, although it is getting to be a long time ago, what it was like when the Jazz were rolling, and it's, you know, that year when they had, they caught lightning in a bottle with Boozer and with Darren Williams and Memo and so forth, and they made their run to the Western Conference Finals. But this is all about you, and my first question is the obvious one. 3-0 in Seattle. I want to know: are you unbeaten? Did you call two wins for the Blue Jays?
I believe that series was split, and I guess the big difference there, I just did two innings in each of those two games.
That's okay.
Back in 2004, but this one I got to do all 27 innings.
That's awesome.
I kind of felt bad for Terry Smith, the guy that I filled in for. He was attending a family wedding, and I guess Mike Socha and some of the guys were giving him grief on Monday in Los Angeles when they're getting ready to play the Dodgers and talking about, you know, when are you going to go on vacation again? We were 3-0 without you.
Yeah, I think there was something about Wally Pipp and Gehrig. I don't remember some story about maybe you don't want to leave your seat or your position because somebody comes in. So, I mean, you know, you've done it all. And, you know, you've crossed over. You've done basketball and an accomplished play-by-play guy. But at the heart of it all is a little kid who loves sports. So I want to know, when you walked into Seattle and you're, you know, working your office, getting ready for the game, was there part of you was saying, man, this is awesome?
Absolutely, Tom. But I think the interesting thing was, if I had any nerves or anxiousness going in, I have to say that when I walked into the booth for the first time, set my briefcase down and just kind of looked out over the field, I had this real sense of calm come over me, like, hey, you know what? I've been here before.
Right.
It's still just baseball. And I really felt comfortable. And, you know, my analyst, Mark Langston, who the former major league pitcher,
oh, yeah,
and Aaron Chan, the producer engineer, really made me comfortable and welcome throughout the entire weekend. And that was a big assist, and to have three very exciting games didn't hurt either.
No, and I mean, we heard your calls on the homers, and I mean, you know, you love your bees, and it, you know, you when you see balls sail out of a Smith ballpark, it's awesome. But when you get a chance to call a Trout or a Pujols, or you know, it's the same you know, voice inflection and everything. But you know, it's cool. I mean, knowing what little I know about play-by-play, that's got to be an experience.
It really is, and a couple of funny things about that. One was the Trout home run. I made mention at the time that, you know, not only, you know, did I get a chance to call a Trout home run in the big leagues, that's now as many as I did when he was with the Bees, because he only hit one in 3 weeks when he was with us in 2012, for heaven's sakes. And then the Pujols home run, Aldin Gonzalez, who is the Angels beat writer for MLB.com, did a nice story because I just offhandedly mentioned, at least that time, calling a Pujols ninth inning game-winning home run was a fun one to do, because the other time I've called an Albert Pujols game-winning home run was in the bottom of the 13th of Game 4 of the 2000 Finals, when he was a 20-year-old left fielder batting seventh in an opposite field home run in the bottom of the 13th to win the championship for Memphis over the Buzz.
Yeah.
Turned out to be the last game in the history of the Buzz.
Wow. And maybe his last home run, I mean, in the minors, right? I mean, something like that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was. That was technically his last minor league at bat.
Wow. So, I mean, it's really cool. And I guess that's kind of, you know, the come full circle for you to be able to chart these guys, you know, through, they come through Salt Lake and like the Trout, you get a sense a guy just, you look at it, it's like LeBron comes in and there's no question about it. This guy is on his way. And you've had a chance to do Pujols, and you know, in a shorter version, and then Trout for a month, and you knew these guys are ticketed, and you're not going to get a chance to call many of his at bats.
No, although I do still joke occasionally with some of the Angels front office people about 2012, because I why did you call that kid Trout up? He was 0-for-3 in his last game for us.
Yeah, he hadn't proven anything.
No, although he was hitting .403 and had 5 triples in 20 games, but you know.
Yeah,
but no, it was fun. You know, there's other players, of course, on the Angels that had come up through the system. I had seen many of the Seattle players play in a Tacoma uniform, and actually, Friday, the first game that I had a chance to do that afternoon, two Bees players, Jeffrey Marte and Gregorio Petit, were called up to the Angels, and Marte had two doubles in that game, so that was kind of fun to see him step up. And then Gregorio Petit, a lifelong minor leaguer with like 80 games played in the major leagues, he started on Saturday and Sunday and was a key player for the Angels, not only at the plate, but with some outstanding defensive plays in the field. So it was kind of fun that I guess you could say the three of us were called up the same weekend.
Yeah, exactly. I'm always fascinated by the craft element of what you guys do. And when I came to the market, I had my first taste of play-by-play doing BYU football and basketball for 8 years, going, I guess, 18 years ago, if you can believe that, when I first came. Bowler,
wow.
Craig Bowlerjack was so helpful to me, just the pro of all pros, and remains, you know, good friend of mine, and just the nicest guy, but as prepared and as much of a professional as there is, and you are in that same category. I'd like you to tell the listeners, like, the keys to your preparation. They have no idea. You don't just go up there and, hey, it's a ball game. You know, it's painstaking, and then you know what you're doing, so you get better at it. But what are some of the keys to the things you do on a daily basis or over the course of your career that you're most proud of?
Well, I think, Tom, the key is, obviously, as you mentioned, doing your homework. I mean, when my kids were growing up, I used to say that I do more homework now than I did when I was in school. But then again, that explains my grades back then. But no, I you know, in the minor league baseball with the Bees and their predecessing names, I actually keep a 4x6 index card on every player in the league. So that takes time.
Wow.
Time to fill out some of the information. And then, you know, I have all the TCL cities bookmark their newspapers, and so if there's any kind of tidbit on a player that I find interesting, I'll put that down on that particular player's card so that I have that ready the next time that we play them. I think that I did the same thing for this series. I did cards for the Mariners. I did cards for the Angels just to try to find anything that I can to make it interesting, because I like to take these guys. They're not just jerseys and uniform
right.
numbers and batting averages. I like to tell people a little bit about them, make them human beings.
Yeah, and you know, like in for football or basketball, we would call it blowout preparation, in case you know, in the fourth quarter, you're just, you know, it's 35-3, and you better have backstories. But in baseball, if you know, the best in the world ever, Vin Scully, just he can weave a yarn through anything. Oh, yeah, there's a grand slam, and he's still getting back to that farmer's story about how the guy threw 100 back in the day. He was country strong and all that. But, you know, so, yeah, you're preparing because there's a whole a cadence and a rhythm that goes through baseball, which is, I find, remarkable and therefore really, really difficult to master.
Well, it's funny because, you know, obviously I'm nowhere near in the conversation with Vin, but I think...
No, you're better than Vin. You know, let's be honest.
No. You know, after 3,200 games, I've also been able to, and traveling with these guys and talking to these guys, you accumulate a lot of stories that you can use to help fill when needed. And, of course, one of my goals each and every broadcast is, because I like to spend some time talking to the guys beforehand, you know, in a baseball game, a minimum of 5 to 6 times, I like to say something along the lines of, well, in talking to so-and-so, he said this about that. You need to, because you're the conduit, really, between the players and the fans.
Yep, and it's credibility. You're like, I'm with these guys, but I'm also with you every night, and so you're relating. You're, as you said, the conduit. That's very well said, and I love the aspect that, can you imagine? There's so many things that you can't talk about that you see on the road. We won't go there, but I know you could fill a book. But I want to know where did it's up there, it's out there, it's gone. Was that? And I know you're not a scripted guy, so that had to be a reaction to something at some point, and then you liked it.
You know, it's funny that you bring that up, because in 1994, the first year of the buzz, the first time I had a chance to do...
I got married that year, a special year, so go. That was awesome.
Well, congratulations. I actually, it was interesting, because I when I got the job to do this, I was driving up to Ogden to cover a Weber State game. And I was on the phone with Brian Douglas, who at the time was the director of broadcasting for the Jazz. And we were kind of talking back and forth, and he says, you realize you're going to have to come up with some sort of a catchphrase. And I said, well, I never really gave that some thought, but maybe I will. And so as I was driving up to Ogden, I was just trying to piece together, you know, a potential home run call. And that one kind of popped into my head, and I thought, you know, let me try that the first couple of games, and you know, it's. I think it's worked out well there. Now, I it was interesting. I did get, and I was always wondering, you know, am I using it too much? I really don't need to do it every call, and right. And actually, on one of the local media websites, a fan congratulated me and says, "But you need to get rid of the home run call." So I'm starting to mix in some more. You heard it there on the Trout home run.
Yep.
A couple of others as well, but you know, obviously the big ones, when you know it's gone when it leaves the bat, I still have to use it. But it's kind of cute, because there have been times I've been walking around the concourse at the ballpark, and I've had I had one time a father say that his 4-year-old knew my home run call and was gonna, he wanted the 4-year-old to give it to me, and so I said, okay, Timmy, go ahead, and waited, and unfortunately the poor kid was so nervous, and so he never really had a chance to do it, so we kind of I kind of kneeled down to him, and I said let's do it together, and it worked out great. So it's kind of cool.
Well, and that's the other thing, you know, anybody who's had a minute conversation with you understands that your connection with people is really, you know, at the heart of your charm and your skill set, that you can obviously, you know, the numbers and you do the homework, but your connection with people, I think, is really speaks to your longevity and the fact that, you know, you are just a monster in your field, and you sense that too, and you like people.
I do. It's fun. I think, you know, at 61 years old, first of all, it's being fun being a 61-year-old rookie, but I think also the fact that I've kind of incorporated and embraced Twitter and Facebook,
yep.
and both of those pages just blew up over the, you know, actually it blew up a couple of weeks ago when the news came out, a lot of, you know, well wishes that I was so grateful for. And then during the weekend, people I didn't know from Southern California who were listening, who enjoyed the broadcasts, and even some Southern California media people that I don't even know were sending me Twitter messages. So it was, so that's kind of fun. I really enjoy the connection. During the Bees games, I'll take questions and answer them on the air through through Twitter or Facebook. So I really do love that fan connection, because I remember, you know, when I was growing up as a fan, and I felt a connection to the Hall of Famer Jack Brickhouse, and even later
sure.
when Harry Carey was doing the White Sox.
Yeah, no doubt. And, you know, I'm like you. I'm an old dog who embraces the new tricks, and I like social media. My wife handles our sort of our Facebook stuff. I need to get better at that. But Twitter is a great way, and, you know, that's fine. It's a passionate place. Sometimes it's kind of a muddy field, stinky, and you don't need to wade into it. But I agree. I mean, it's a great way to engage appropriately people and, you know, handle criticism that you don't get. I do, you know, sometimes, and it's a good way to bond. I want to ask you this, though, because I was having this discussion with John LaFollette, our producer, and I know that major league clubs have run at you. I'm just curious, like, you know, what it's been like for you throughout your career in handling it when you get job offers or you interview, or, you know, what keeps you coming back to the Bees, because, you know, you're a treasure here and we love it.
Well, first of all, Tom, that's so nice of you to say, but I just, you know, there's only so many of those jobs open, and guys tend to, once they get them, don't want to go anywhere.
Yep.
So it's very difficult. I realize that, and I realize that there are a lot of good broadcasters in the minor leagues. Matter of fact, I've heard, you know, because scouts, when they come to the ballpark, they listen to the home broadcast on their radios to pick up little tidbits
yep.
about players they might not know otherwise. And a lot of times they say that the talent of a broadcaster in the minor leagues is better than what you have in the major leagues, because some of those guys sometimes take it for granted and don't do their work. So
mm-hmm.
So I've just taken it with I didn't get it this time, but I really enjoy what I'm doing with the Bees. And, you know, if the big leagues never happens, I can say, hey, over 3,000 games at the Triple A level, that's not so bad. And, of course, I also use that with some players who complain about being in the minor leagues and not being in the big leagues where they feel they belong. I say, hey, try doing 3,200 AAA games. You guys have nothing on me.
That's right. That's right. And I know that, you know, all of us who love baseball movies, and we're up against the clock, but just, I mean, Bull Durham is one of those, like when you talk about, like, journeyman, and that is not by any stretch, but the fact that you have, you know, become a treasure doing minor league baseball, and then you see movies like certainly Bull Durham, that has to resonate with you, because you probably have seen those kinds of stories play out.
Absolutely, absolutely. Those guys are, we have over 1,700 games of major league experience on the Bees roster, at least at the start of this season. So I know where they're coming from, and I know how it relates to the movie as well.
Yeah. Well, great stuff, and thank you so much. It's way too long. We got to have you on again soon, maybe as the baseball season moves on. It's great to pick your brain. Congratulations on that, and just keep reminding the big club you're unbeaten. You know, I'm just saying.
Well, I all I know is that through Twitter, a lot of Angel fans are reminding them of that.
Good. Let them run your interference for you. Steve Klauke, voice of the Bees and most recently of the Angels, thank you so much. Keep up the good work. We'll be listening, and come back and see us again soon.
Anytime, Tom.